In this episode of Bear Podcast,
accepting your own beauty,
finding your partner on dating apps,
self-driving cars make you car sick,
and how big is too big?
All these and more. Stay tuned. Bear Podcast 563. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 563, where it's a Monday, April 13th, 2015. So, have you been dry this weekend? It's been raining all weekend.
I'm old. I'm always dry.
You're dry, all dried up.
I'm all dried up. My days are not over with.
Yeah. It's been raining so hard lately that all our games were canceled last Sunday again. But I did go to Barracuda.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It was actually Spring Iniquity last weekend also. So you always go to Spring Iniquity before.
Not this weekend.
Not this weekend?
I've gone before, but not this weekend.
Oh, okay.
There's too much. Just one of those weekends I didn't want to do anything, so.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Did you go last year? I can't remember.
I think so. Yeah. I can't remember. I don't know, man. I can't remember 2 days past hardly anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I got old.
You attend so many events that Spring Iniquity happens once a year. Don't remember.
Old timers, man. Oh. I can't keep up.
And they did again. They have a pup play there again, and
did
I didn't
they?
Go. Yeah, they did.
Did you get out there play with the puppies?
No.
Have you ordered your little tail for your?
No, I don't have a tail for my pup. No, I didn't know.
Come on, man. Today you want to get out there and wiggle it around?
I am not into pup play. Okay. But I did see some of the guys from the Bio City Pups who were our guests a couple of episodes ago. They were there, and they were in full gear with gloves and everything. So it's easy to to at pup mode when pup you're pup mode. Yes. Okay, so I did that. It's also it's a weekend where you have both Spring Iniquity, and last Saturday was also Barracuda. So there's a DJ doing the Barracuda and everything. It's really packed. There's a lot of people at the Ripcord last Saturday, so that was a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool. Nice Barracuda comes through and,
and has
even a little DJ.
Even though it was raining a lot, people still went.
That's good. It's always good.
Mm-hmm. So what have you been up to?
Well, went and saw Fast and Furious this weekend. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't, though. Is it really good? No.
It's a Fast and Furious movie. I don't know if
good, eye candy.
I don't know if it's really good. Something you can classify the movies as a lot of fun to watch. Maybe
it's fun to watch, but
you know, they pull pretty much anybody that's been in one of the movies kind of popped up in this one. So for a short term, but,
so it's got Vin Diesel.
It's got Vin Diesel.
Does it have? Did it have Dwayne
it's
Johnson?
It's got Vin Diesel. It's got The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Walker,
still alive.
Ludacris, the two chicks that were the main female leads in it, and then I can't remember what the other black guy's name is. Mm. I know him, but I can't remember what his name is. But the whole crew was there, so
okay,
except for Paul Walker.
Well, he was
some of
there.
The scenes he really wasn't there.
Oh, really? Okay,
because that computer generated him in.
Is it really computer? No.
Some of them, yeah, because he died before the movie was finished.
Oh, I thought he was already done. Okay.
No, I guess.
I have to watch that still because I heard it's really fun.
The only one that I really stuck out as being computer generated is the very last scenes in the movie.
Mm.
We're not going to give any spoilers. It's just that just something that happens between Vin Diesel and him. Well, they're fucking, but.
that was digital. That was CGI'd.
Talk about masculine power bottom. Go Vin Diesel. No. That's a reference to last week's show, episode 562.
Oh, okay.
But it's very good. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, there's always blowing up and tearing up stuff, and they're all over the world. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they do Fast and Furious 8 now.
Gosh, how many Fast Furious are going to be?
I mean, it's the most grossing franchise chain ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why they keep making them, because they keep making money. So,
Yeah. There's only so much you can do with cars.
No, you can always change cars around, blow them up, make them do different things.
Oh, okay.
So
you have the budget for that.
If you got the budget for it, you can make money, and they apparently do. So, have you been watching Daredevil? It got released this weekend. Been. We had big premieres this weekend.
Yes, I got to watch about six episodes. I think five episodes or six episodes of Daredevil. It's available right now on Netflix.
That's right.
And it's the story of Matt Murdock, of course, the comic book. If you guys have been reading about it,
yeah.
So, what do you think of the of
I like the Netflix series. It's more realistic.
Yeah, I feel the same way because in the comic books, he's like invincible. Like you can't hurt him. Well, they
all seem like invincible in the comic books. But yeah. See, that's the big difference that I was thinking about last night after watching the show. And then like you get the comic books where they have only a limited amount of time and you're doing a visual thing that's a frame. That frame has to say a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to reality, it's like, okay, let's take that and make a show out of it. Well, he didn't always have a Daredevil costume. He didn't always do this. He couldn't always do this. I mean, as he got more experience being the Daredevil, stuff came in. Like, if I remember correctly, he's got like nunchucks or something.
He's got a billy club.
Billy club.
Yeah. Billy Ray club. A billy club.
Yeah, billy club. But there's also something like where Daredevil used to swing between the buildings and stuff.
Yeah. It's like Spider-Man-like.
Like,
yeah,
which I always thought was weird that Daredevil and Spider-Man were too much alike. There's very little, there's not much difference between the two if you compare what they can do, but except one's super powered and one's kind of got some augmented sensory. Augmented perception. Senses,
yeah. So in the comic books, Daredevil is blind, of course, not like I'm spoiling it, everybody knows about it, so because of Ben Affleck, he's blind, but then. His other senses. So he had five senses. So he's blind, but then his other four senses were all heightened, like a hundredfold or something like
that. Unless
you
got the sixth sense.
That's combat sense? What is it? You see gay people.
Yeah,
so that's his power, and he can feel heartbeats and everything, stuff like that. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I like it that, you know, how you have the people that go out and they like climb up the sides of buildings and stuff and they jump between the walls and do all this stuff and it looks cool as hell, that they're kind of modeling the Daredevil after that, doing that kind of thing, that he's not like swinging between buildings.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since I read a Daredevil comic. I mean, most of y'all were probably children when I read a Daredevil comic last time.
Yeah, me too.
But I remember him swinging between buildings and he was swinging on something and he had some kind of, but he didn't have billy club. He had like nunchuck things or something that he could flip out and do stuff.
Yeah, it becomes a whip or something, or he can hook up with something with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's about Daredevil. But then what's good about the new Daredevil series of Netflix is that they kind of humanized him. Like you said, it became more realistic.
Yeah.
You can still hit him. He can still get hurt.
Yeah.
And everything.
And the episodes they talk about, man, you need some like body armor or something. Because he always getting the crap beat out of him and getting sewn up and stitched up and stuff. But
yeah. Also,
so I'm wondering if that they say that, and then maybe in the couple of, you know, as the series moves on, he finally gets some kind of body armor that gives him his actual Daredevil mask and all that kind of stuff. So
that'd be awesome. You know, having a red.
Because she's a basic bitch right now.
Yeah, just a mask. Okay, so that's Daredevil. But let's talk about, really quick, about the background story. There's so much background story, which is awesome because they're developing these characters.
Yeah.
If you read the comic books, it's all about Daredevil. It's about him doing this and that, talking to himself or jumping into buildings.
Yeah.
But this one has a lot of backstory that they actually humanized Kingpin or Fisk. That he has a life. He also has feelings, stuff like that. And his friends, his associate.
Yeah.
And there are other characters there that they're developing that has a lot of backstory. So him being a Daredevil with heightened senses is really a side story almost.
Yeah.
It's more like,
I mean, it's like, it's a
combined
they're,
whole
they're
thing.
Doing all this thing. They're developing everybody.
Yeah, he's developing everybody.
So you're not, I mean, the major focus is on Matt Murdock's being the Daredevil, but then you got all these other characters that are developing and like the receptionist and all this other stuff that's going to pop up stuff.
Yeah.
And out of that, Netflix is also doing the Jessica Jones, the Luke Cage, and Iron Fist series. Which is going to turn into a series called The Defenders on Netflix, apparently. Mm-hmm. So these characters that Netflix is doing are going to turn into The Defenders, which when I was looking up some stuff for information for the show, I saw it pop up on the internet database, and it always has the guy playing Matt Murdock listed as going to be in these episodes. So yeah. I don't know if they're filming all this stuff concurrently while they got the sets up and stuff mm-hmm. to make budget cheaper. I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see with the Jessica Jones, the Luke Cage, and the Iron Fist series comes out. And then all of a sudden you got the Defender series.
I can't remember. What can Iron Fist do? He's
a big fister.
He's a big fister?
Yes, with iron.
He's a sister fister? So how about Luke Cage? He's just strong.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't remember them anymore. It's been a long time. I used to read about it.
So
I think Luke
Cage. I mean, like Daredevil, I never really followed. I think for a while there, I picked up some of his comics, but I just never could get into the whole Daredevil comic. Because I was more about Spider-Man, X-Men.
It was more X-Men.
DC stuff, you know. Yeah. So, but the big premiere this weekend was, of course,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So you got to watch the first episode.
I got to watch the first episode. We're not going to give any spoilers away, but people die.
People died, yes. Or some people lived.
No, well, somebody died.
Somebody died? Which one died? One no-name character died in the beginning in the brothel. But
so you're giving spoilers away. I said I was not going to give spoilers away other than somebody.
But it doesn't add to the story. I mean, it does. What I'm saying is not.
We're setting up a background of what's going on in the background behind the scene. So
yeah.
But it was a very good episode. I'm glad that Game of Thrones is back. Did you see
there was sex.
Game of Thrones? Did you see the Game of Thrones with Cookie parody on Facebook?
No.
Well, Cookie from Empire shows up on Game of Thrones. Oh, it's hilarious.
Really?
Go try to look for it on Facebook. If I can, I'll repost it and post it. I might have posted it on the Gig Eating Bazaar. I don't know. If I hadn't, I'll go find it and post it on there. But it's pretty funny. They take Cookie from Empire and Photoshop her into Game of Thrones video.
Oh, okay.
And it's very funny to watch. So.
All right. Let's check it out later. Okay, so those are our updates for the weekend. And we got entertained, of course. Now let's go to topics that Ray brought up.
Okay. Well, I had different topics, but Maynard said we needed a bazaar instead of a beauty, so we had to switch it.
Always have to have a bazaar.
Because Napoleon over here can't change.
No.
Okay. This article I read it and I thought it was pretty good. And it was actually published like 2 years ago.
By gayguys.com.
So, well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes up, but I thought
I know it's just that the website is just awesome.
Well, actually, a lot of the news stories I've been getting have been popping up from gayguys.com. Some of the articles talking about stuff we've
never heard of this website before.
So, you've never heard of gay guys before?
Gayguys.com, never heard of it before. Okay. I'm sure it's kind of taken.
So,
all right.
Okay. The Battle of Accepting Your Own Beauty, which is published by David Arvada, is that how you say it?
Artavia.
So,
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Well, it's old, but it still rings true because a couple weeks ago we had an article about what different countries see beauty as, male beauty as.
Okay.
And we talked about how Americans see male masculinity and beauty as somebody that's really toned and muscled.
Mm-hmm.
Where other countries, they're leaner and swimmer's bodies, and India has their look, and Asians have this look and stuff. So I thought it was kind of interesting that this popped up in my news feed and I started reading it. So
mm-hmm.
It's hard for gay guys to accept the fact that they're beautiful, especially when much of our perception on people lies on the physical. The sad result of unconscious self-judgment. My body isn't good enough. My talent isn't good enough. My job isn't good enough. My personality isn't good enough. Ultimately leading to the worst of them all, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. The more we judge our self-worth on how many likes we have on Facebook, or how many compliments we get a day, the more dependent we will become on other people's approval rather than our own. It has to come from us first. Once we can fathom the idea that, indeed, we are beautiful and we do deserve happiness, it's like laying out a welcome mat for beauty to enter our lives. Trust me, I know from experience. Mm-hmm. So he goes into talking about his old 20s. But I thought this was a very interesting article. And Maynard will post a link so you can go read it, read the full article. But it's like that we sit there, and we were talking about this one night about on Tumblr, for example. You get a bunch of porn. And I was talking about, you know, it's kind of funny. You'd scroll through and scroll through, and there's all these hot muscle guys with big dicks. And then this really cute guy with a small dick shows up, and he sticks out like a sore thumb. Because it's like all huge. Oh my God, what happened? No. But it's not a bad thing. It's just like it sticks out that we put out there, how many porn movies do you see with guys with really small dicks fucking?
You don't. Really? Bear videos. Yes, there are people with small dicks. Yeah, bear videos.
But how many like Twinkie videos or mainstream type stuff? Everybody wants these big, muscular, macho, hairy men with huge cocks. Mm-hmm. And I think because we watch that, we think, a lot of people think that's what they're supposed to be like.
Just like mainstream media.
Yeah, just like mainstream media. Like, everybody should like somebody off a TV show.
Yeah, just like Will and Grace.
You have to be a flamboyant gay to be on TV or something like that. I wish many days that I looked like Stephen Amell, but I don't. I'm a fat bear. But, I mean, there's a lot. There's one of the things in my 30s, moving to Houston, I had to deal with the fact that I always thought that I was unattractive. I didn't think I was butt-ass ugly. But when I got to Houston and guys started hitting on me left and right and flirting with me, I got overwhelmed there for a while because, I wasn't used to it because where I was from, everybody wanted those little muscle Twinkie boys. Mm-hmm. And then I get out here and people are actually showing me attention and I'm like, wow, I am good. People do like the way I look and do think I'm good looking. It can mess with your self-esteem, especially when you're fresh meat. It really will mess with your self-esteem if you're young. Now as I get older, I'm looking at myself. And yes, I like looking at the muscle guys, you know, the Titan porn men and stuff. But I also have a reality that everybody's not like that. Mm-hmm. But I also sit in the gym when I'm in there working out. I'm in the locker room and I'm changing to get ready for work. And I'm looking at the guys around me. And there's all these big muscle guys that are like my age and all toned and ripped. And here I'm sitting here with this big old belly, hairy, just like nothing like most of the people in the gym with me. I'm like, it bothers me sometimes. It's like,
really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm like, God, why can't I be like that? And I have to tell myself, well, you know what? They've been working on this longer.
You just started.
And I'm just starting up to get my body back in shape and stuff. And I'll probably never have that rip cut ab or big pecs.
Is that what you're going for?
Right now, I'd be happy just to lose 40 fucking pounds.
Oh, okay.
You know, for health reasons, diabetes, some other issues that's been going on. But you sit there and you think that, God, I got to be this. No, I don't have to be that.
Yeah.
I have to be me. And I think a lot of people have issues with that because I know if I fight with it all the time, pretty much everybody else out, they got to be fighting with it too.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was kind of funny one day on one of the episodes of Glee, the little Twinkie muscle boy with the big lips. I can't remember what his name was, but he's like all pumped up.
Oh, him. Yeah, I remember.
All
him.
Pumped up stuff.
Blind.
The blind guy. And he was all like, but I'm fat. And I know we joked around with Wayne about being skinny fat, but is that really a joke? Or is that something that somebody self-perceives that I'm fat? Even though by most set normal terms, they're not. Mm-hmm. It's like girls and their self-esteem and image. Like, oh my God, I'm too fat. And they're like size 2 or a size 4 or even a size 6. As far as girl sizes go, is that too small? Is that too big? I mean.
Yeah. But in the Asians and Friends arena, actually, it's like I myself like. In the regular bars, if you go, I really don't feel that. You don't. I know what you feel like. You know, I'll be around. Why can't I look like that? Or why can't I be as ripped as that guy? But then, in the Asians and Friends realm, if I should say, it's really just if you're Asian, you're pretty much like a commodity, a good commodity among the. That's when you say you feel validated at that point. Yes, I do. Most of the time, you feel validated because here is an organization or here is a group that actually likes the Asians and everything. So, like you said, it's something that it validates you. Yeah.
So I've always wondered, because I've seen this a lot since we've gone to bear events together.
Yeah.
You get ignored.
Oh God, yes. Bear events. I am Mr. Cellophane. Nobody sees me, pretty much. No. For the longest time, I'm either not even acknowledged at all. Yeah, I feel that a lot.
I remember the first time I thought of Chaser or Scoot, and I was kind of flirting with him, and he was like, "Oh, you're too small for me." And I'm like, "What?
Oh, really?"
I'm like, "What?" I was like, "Uh-uh, I'm too small."
Yeah. But you won't get ignored in a bear event.
But see, that's the whole thing. I'm not super attracted to other bears.
Yeah.
I mean, I take that on an individual case, because Robbie's kind of bearish.
Yeah, he is.
But I'm attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
But other bears, I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie, I think, has issue with that, because he sees that I look at, the stuff that I look at, it's like all these muscle young guys. And I'm like, and we've talked about this, and I said, yeah, but what I like to look at and what I love is two different things.
Yeah, looking is fine.
I mean, it's like, it's just an image. And I was like, oh yeah, he's good looking and I like that, but I also have to live in reality. That's a fucking image. It's probably circulated the internet for 20 years that guy don't look like that no more.
Or he's been in Tumblr for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, in bear runs, most of bear runs anyway, if it's big,
yeah,
like TBRU, I should say, if it's TBRU,
yeah,
I'm pretty much ignored, and I only gravitate to people who are usually my friends locally or people who I met years ago, and I've known them at TBRU all the time and hang out with them.
Yeah.
And sometimes because of this podcast, too, I hang out with people who listen to this podcast. So, and then those are pretty much the people I would hang out with, and it's always a good conversation. But in general, if I'm going to be at the bars there or I'm going to be at the TBRU hospitality suite, yeah, I'm, unless I actually walk up to someone and say hi at least, otherwise here I'm really just ignored. Yeah, then it's a reality.
I've seen you walk up to somebody just because you chatted with them before.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, "Hey, I'm Andrew. We've been talking." And he's like, "Oh yeah," and he just totally walked off.
Oh yeah, that happened.
And just blew you off. And I was like, "Ooh."
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's happened to me too. But
yeah.
I was like, "Oh, they hit a hoe. Mm-hmm. They're not here to conversate." So
yeah.
So anyway, we'll post the link to this article. Read it and tell us what you think. Let us know how you feel about what your inner beauty comes from. What, you know, because we all have insecurities. So
yeah,
what feeds yours? What pushes your buttons to make you feel beautiful or unbeautiful or, you know,
I'm too short. Am I too short? Mike says I tend to think that Mike thinks that I'm perfect. I'm kind of biased, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I'm short and not muscly enough like other Asians. So I don't know, it's just an observation. Anyway,
okay.
Let's move on. Let's go to entertainment, Ray.
Okay. You're going to take
this one. Okay, I'm going to take this one. Spider-Man. Again. It's going to be rebooted again. Simply because...
The reboot of the reboot!
It's the reboot of the reboot. So, Spider-Man reboot will center on Peter Parker as a high school superhero. So, it's official. The new Spider-Man will be Peter Parker, not his successor in the comic book Miles Morales, or anyone else who has donned the Spider-Man mask over the years. And the reboot, number 3, if you're keeping count, yeah. The first one was with Tobey Maguire, and the second one was the guy from Social Network,
mm-hmm.
Right? The best friend of the guy. Anyway, that guy. And now it's going to be the third one now. So it will focus more than ever before on Parker's experiences in high school, such like Smallville. Okay, so that's all according to Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige, who, after the surprise Sony Marvel deal, earlier this year, is now helping to oversee the creative direction of the Spider-Man films. And it's a great idea. Yeah. Let Marvel do what they're good at.
Yeah.
Not, you know. Yeah.
Well, so they sold the Spider-Man off to Sony long before Disney bought them and they really got into making movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they got it figured out and they like, okay, we got a format, we know what works. Sony had already done their thing twice now. So,
yeah.
And I think with all the Sony stuff and then buying them back. So, but the interesting thing is all the movies, regardless of who's done it, and even the TV show back in the 70s or early 80s.
80s. I remember that.
Peter Parker was a college student. And in the comic books, from remember reading them, he was right on that verge of being like junior, senior in high school,
mm-hmm.
still living with Aunt May, all that kind of stuff. Or he had just, or he's still a freshman in college and he's trying to figure everything out. Yeah. So I'm good to see they're going back to a younger, which they boot it back to a younger, they can get a younger actor and get more movies out of him.
Yeah, that's true, and he grows up. Also, what's good about Marvel is that the canon of Marvel, that they actually tie all these characters, yeah. and they're in the better position now to have Spider-Man in there.
Show up in the Civil War.
Show up in he could show up in an Avengers film, yeah. or he could show up in a Thor's film.
Reason they were pushing this.
Or an X-Men one.
And the thought is online. On the chitter chatter, is that with Sony and them doing this, they would be more open to taking Spider-Man and allowing him to be in the Civil War movies that's coming up in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if that's actually going to happen. That's why Spider-Man hadn't showed up in the Avengers, because he was an Avenger forever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also pushing, like, where's She-Hulk and all the rest of these female superheroes that big names in the comic books, but nothing on the movies.
You know what? That's a great idea. How come they don't have a She-Hulk? Yeah, it'd be awesome to have a She-Hulk in the...
Maybe in one of the movies they're going to introduce that, because the She-Hulk is David Banner's cousin, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And he gives her a blood transfusion to save her life. Something happens, blood transfusion, and then that's when she converts to the She-Hulk.
Which she controlled herself.
She can control herself. So it's going to be interesting to see if they bring that up, because they're talking about all the female... people that should be getting roles that haven't. Mm-hmm. And DC's pushing them out because they're doing Wonder Woman.
Right.
They're talking about a Black Canary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember who else it was. There was somebody else they were going to push out and do too. So, but anyway, that's enough about comic books.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about books. Let's talk about our buddy Stephen King.
Stephen King.
All right. If any of y'all like me who have read the super long, way, way long
Dark Tower
movie, Sony Pictures and MRC team up on first installment of the Stephen King series. Sony Pictures Entertainment Motion Picture Group Chairman Tom Rothman has found a franchise to sink his teeth into. Sony Pictures has teamed with MRC to co-finance The Dark Tower, Stephen King's novel series set in a world woven with magic and revolving around the gunslinger Roland Deschain. Sony will distribute what is planned to be the first in a series of movies. A complimentary TV series is also being developed by MRC. The new script is primarily based on the first book in the series, The Gunslinger, and the relationship between Roland and Jake. The film is a blend of horror and fantasy. Now, if you've never read the Dark Tower series...
When did you read this? High school? College?
College. No, I was here.
You were in Houston already, so that's about 17 years ago.
17 years ago when it first started coming out, and he drug it out forever. The book's long. They go all over the fucking place. They touch on every story he's pretty much ever published up to that point in this world of his, because it's kind of like dimensions are collapsing on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the final book, you get so pissed off you want to kill him.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
When you get to the last book in this series, it's like, you got to be effing kidding me.
You know, that's how I felt with the True Blood. But the Charlaine Harris, Sookie Stackhouse series, up to the 13th book. I think the 13th was the last one. That kind of pissed me off how it all ended. But anyway, I know how that feels.
Well, I got so invested in this series because it was like, I'm not a big Stephen King fan. I like most of his stuff, but I got so, because there were so many books. I mean, there's book after book, and they're like yay thick, and you just sit there, and it takes forever to read, and they're like, all this shit going on, and then it finds up, and you're like, what? Oh, I got to start the next book now. So it's going to be interesting to see what they have. And they're talking about a TV series, too, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays off,
because it
wraps all these worlds of his together into kind of one, and they touch on all of them as they go through the series. So.
Okay. Well, check that out. Do you think it's going to be a good movie? Is it good? Is it good to be translated as a movie?
Well, I don't know. See, I always thought it would be better as a TV show.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because
it's a lot of things planned out in a good story arc, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the books. I mean, the books were huge. Mm-hmm. So trying to condense that down into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah,
it's not, I mean, just hitting the high points, I think it's going
to
lose some
It has stuff. To be a 7-season TV series.
So, yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to do a series and, like, okay, we got an hour, and then you can break it down and go more in deep. Because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the background that, you know, like Roland and Jake, them two meeting, and then the other characters come on, and there's backstory to them that happens in the book. So,
you know, they should release it on an HBO or Netflix or Amazon Prime.
So,
if they release it on those platforms.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I mean, I hope it turns out good. I know.
Oh, wait a second. You did say it's going to be in Sony Pictures. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then they're screwed.
Yeah.
So. They'll end up rebooting it at some point. Okay. So yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed those entertainment. So we'll put links on the website.
And now onto the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
That's right. So first, the gay. This is interesting, Ray. Okay, so I read this yesterday. 80% of gay men meet their long-term partners on dating apps. I went together with Mike. We never really met on a dating app because there were no dating apps back then.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel old.
It was like, what was the chat room sites called?
Oh, I don't know. IRC?
IRC, yeah.
Anyway, so this story comes from Gay Star News. So 14% of gay men met online in 2001. New research published in AIDS and Behavior has shown the number of gay men who have met their partners online has jumped dramatically, going from 14% in 2001 to 80% last year. That's a lot. So
that hookup was just so good, they started dating.
Yeah. What is it?
Let's face it.
14 years ago. So during the same time period, men who met partners at bars, sex on premises, venues, and through friends or other venues dropped. Yeah, I could see that. Researchers argue health organizations need to rethink how they are communicating sexual health messages online, saying it's time to move past condoms in club toilets and onto effective multimedia tools for different users, depending on what they are looking for. So, Garrett Prestige, whatever it is, associate professor of the University of New South Wales in Australia, said the sheer amount of men using apps like Grindr, Scruff, and Tinder has cast doubt on who is exactly in danger of STIs. So, one of the things that's been talked about a lot over the last decade is that men who meet online are of higher risk. So this data show that this faulty logic, because most gay men meet partners this way, be that romantic or sexual. So if they're comparing it with men who don't use apps, they're comparing men who are sexually active with those who are not. Okay, just a few more. Research that showed people who use these apps had more STIs are only stigmatizing users. Prestige suggests. So a more sensible approach is simply to accept that men are more likely to meet via online methods these days and make sure that there are appropriate online interventions and information, he said. Instead, health bodies should use different messaging of different apps depending on whether users were looking for long-time partners or simply a fuck buddy. So you can't just talk about it. You know, hookup apps, because it covers too much. It would be the same as saying all gay bars are the same. Yeah, that's true. I mean, one thing here, they lack a growler. So previous research has indicated that gay dating apps could be to blame for the rise of gonorrhea and syphilis. So do you think that people right now who use these apps, but usually they are open. They sometimes say that. Well, I guess they don't say that they have gonorrhea or syphilis.
Syphilis, yeah. That's well, I think it, but the thing is, now, I want to get a nut. I pick up my phone. You horny? You want to fuck? Yes.
Go.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out to a bathhouse and try to find somebody. You have to go to a bar, a couple
drinks. There's no mind games. Yeah, no mind games, no talking.
I mean, it just cuts out. I said, "Hey, you want to fuck?"
Like I said, I'm invisible. I'm Mr. Cellophane.
Mr. Cellophane.
Yeah.
But I mean, most guys that have, I mean, look at the shit that we talked about on Growler on during TBRU.
The stuff oh God, the shouts! Like,
just come fuck my ass. I mean, it was that simple. I mean,
oh yeah, come to room 213, yeah. And my ass is up, and it's all yours for the taking.
Yeah.
Or the fucking whatever.
So, yeah, so I mean, it just cuts out all that pretense of going having it like the one of the things when I was in charge of Houston Area Bears that we had to fight was we couldn't get attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Oh, back in the day we used to get attendance." Well, back in the day, you didn't have internet, you didn't have phone apps, you didn't have all this other shit going on.
Yep.
People had to come out and actually meet face to face to get to know each other, and then they would hook up and go have sex or go about the house or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was more of a social thing. Where now, people are hooking up on Facebook.
So, do you think it's this thing is really all these dating apps is really hurting all these runs, all these events?
I don't think it's hurting events. I think it's cutting out being social with people.
Well, that's true because when you see
because when you go to TBRU, who do you hang out with?
Your friends. All right. Who do you already know?
Who you already know?
Yeah.
How many times do you go up and try to meet other people?
Usually, you don't. First, you hook up online first.
Yeah.
Oh, what happens is, oh, that guy is hot. I'm going to look for him on Growler.
Exactly.
And then when you see him, then you chat with him. Hi, I can see you. Why won't you talk?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, I saw you know.
And so I saw you this and this and that.
Because we don't like rejection.
Yeah.
And it's one thing because when you're on an app, if you get rejected, it's like, fuck you, no, fuck you. Because people post this shit on Facebook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have friends that do this.
Uh-huh.
But hey, you want to hook up? You're hot. No. Why not? You know, it's like people take it personal.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to go fuck them. So this takes all the apps take all that out of it. I mean, you know, when you hit somebody up and they say, hey, you want to fuck? Yeah. So you get an address, you go meet up, and you fuck somewhere, or they come over, whatever. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's that easy and it's straightforward. No BS. They all, and of course, it says the NSA, no strings attached, if you don't know that. NSA.
And I'm wondering how Craigslist is.
And no games, right? They say no games. Okay.
And it's interesting because with all the hookup apps, Craigslist is still getting posts.
Oh yeah, I mean.
I don't understand that is like because the apps you can do the same thing with dating apps,
mm-hmm.
but on Craigslist, I guess you can have that hidden email account.
Yeah, it hides you.
That where if you got an app on your phone, people can see it. But I can go in and get a web email, so I can log into it. Nobody can see that I'm logged, that I got this email.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting. That well, maybe that's why, because that's why all the married men go.
Really?
There's always some 40-year-old married gal in there looking for hook up with somebody. Because.
So, are you saying that there are more straight men or bisexual men who use Craigslist than dating apps?
I would think so.
In your observation, yeah. Maybe? Okay.
Because it's like the kid that went and got it that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He went and got his dad's phone. All of a sudden, he found the app on the phone.
Yeah, that's right. And he came out.
And
he's outed.
Well,
I'm doing research, son.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that, because we talked about that, because that popped up on Reddit and we talked about it. So I think more married guys are less likely to have that kind of app on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Where gay guys are like, fuck it. I mean, when I was single, I had three of them on there. I know I had Scruff, Growler, and Recon.
Mm. Growler, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Scruff.
I didn't get much out of any of them. I mean, most of the people, I was just like, you're fucking 200 miles away.
I Scruff is not so much. It's really big right now, but I don't see it as any. You know, you like your clientele.
See, Tinder, like, that's a whole other thing there. Tinder, where you can be in the same room with somebody and be, like, messing them in the same room or if you're at the same bar or something and hooking up.
So you
don't even have to go talk to them. You say, hey, I'll see your profile. You see you like this. I'm standing over here. You want to go hook up? Yeah, and then you go.
You know, we have to ask a straight guy using Tinder at some point. Who uses Tinder? Hey, audience.
That's right.
Any of you guys using Tinder? Hooking up with bisexual men? I don't know. Yeah. That would be interesting. So do you have Tinder on your phone? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right, on to the geek.
Let's go to the geek.
Thank you, Cesar. He posted this one.
Thanks, Cesar.
Self-driving vehicles will make more people car sick.
Oh, I heard about this. Okay.
I can relate to this because I can't be in the passenger side of a car and read. I get car sick. But when my car is auto-driving, I can take a nap, which is fine with me because if I get in the car and the sun's just right, I can sleep all day long.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the point of these self-driving cars. They don't recommend that you are sleeping.
I'm talking about to the point where I can sleep, where they are automated and I don't have to worry about it. And I can get in and be like, home. And that 30 minutes I'm they're just sitting in traffic. I mean, that's what I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Okay.
But it would be nice, like today when I was coming up here, because I had a business meeting. I left the business meeting and come straight here. I was still getting messages and emails from work for stuff going on. And it would kind of been nice if I could have put the car on autopilot and dealt with some work stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for some people that work out of their cars, that's going to be great. Because then I can kind of multitask. The car is driving itself. I can check emails, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I can't wait for the day, for that day.
So, and awesome. It might also be help a lot of teenagers from having wrecks. Because mm-hmm. the car auto drives. They're like, ah! But eventually people are not.
Oh, my God.
But eventually people they're not going to learn how to drive.
You know those guys? Probably having sex while their car is driving by itself.
Right. People be instead of hotel rooms, they'll be like, oh,
my God.
We're in the back of the minivan, baby.
That's right. My car's going to be an autopilot, and we'll be driving, and we can have sex while we're on our way to somewhere, to El Paso or something.
Yeah.
It's just one straight up. I don't have to drive. It's autopilot. Let's have sex.
That's right. Cuts all that out. So, or you can just drive around 610 loop having sex.
Good point. Anyway, let's go to the article.
Okay. Right? When you get your first self-driving car, don't forget to put a few barf bags in it, just in case. A duo from the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute explains that you'll likely be more susceptible to motion sickness in self-driving cars due to a couple reasons. First, since you don't directly control it, you can't always anticipate every turn, swerve, stop, change in speed, etc. This disconnect between what you see and how the car moves affects the balance, which is why drivers don't suffer from the condition often as passengers do. Second, people are bound to do activities that amplify its symptoms. So, I'm going to cut this down some. A group of scientists from different universities said they would be reading, texting, watching movies, television, playing games, or working. All these calls are of a tense dizziness and nausea inside moving vehicles, which, like I just said,
it happens to me when I try to read.
I can't read in a moving vehicle because maybe it'll be a way that you can shade the car. Because if I don't see stuff outside, I'm okay. But when I'm sitting there trying to focus and I see stuff doing this by me, mm-hmm. it distracts my eye enough that I think it throws off my equilibrium.
And you think you'll get dizzy too? Probably I would say.
But you know, in a lot of the movies of the future, the cars are, you can't see inside them. Have you ever noticed that?
You can Demolition Man.
Well, Demolition Man, but there are a bunch of movies that the self-driving cars, the windows go opaque.
Oh, okay.
And you're just in the environment, which would stop that, which is probably why that would happen.
Would it be nice if you do that and then your screen, it would project a TV show or something?
Something like that. You could do that, yeah. So.
Wow.
The best way to combat car sickness then is to use your travel time to talk to fellow passengers. Oh my God, we got to talk.
Actually face them.
Oh my God.
Because that's the problem. If I'm driving and I'm talking, I cannot put take my eyes off the road.
Yeah.
But now you can in a way. Yeah.
Well, see, when I'm driving, I get distracted because I'm like looking at the scenery. I'm like, oh God, that's a great looking house right there with the architecture stuff.
So when it darkens, then you can really whip it out and do whatever you want to do.
So no, but passengers need to rest, relax, or take a nap. That's my favorite one. All right, we're going to San Antonio. See you in 2 hours.
So, oh, yeah.
The sake of those incapable of controlling themselves, the researchers have a few design suggestions. These include equipping self-driving cars with larger than usual windows, displays that face forward, and seats that fully recline but don't swivel. Mm. So,
yeah. You know what? Okay, this is what I heard from someone before. If we ever have driving cars in the far future, it would be immoral. It would be immoral if you ever drive manually, because What happens is, in the future, everything's going to be self-driving. You ride your car, and it goes to its destination, and you don't have to touch anything. Once you put your hand on the wheel
and become that whole chaos,
yeah, you're actually risking other people's lives and yourself, because you're controlling it, and it's not in the computer's system or anything, because you're doing it manually, and you are potentially going to hurt other people. Yeah,
I don't think we'll have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about that.
I think we'll be long gone before that gets fully implemented.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Worry about it.
But do you think in our lifetime we will experience a self-driving car?
Yes, I think by the time we're in our 60s, which is not too far off, that there will be self-driving cars that you can do auto, and they'll drive you to your location. But do I think the entire populace will be on that by the time we're dead? No.
No, I don't think so either.
And I think it might take over the transportation industry as far as trucking more than it will in private people's cars first. Because that's fabricated by the government. And if the driver doesn't actually have to drive all the time, they can change that so they can drive longer hours. With fewer brakes and all the stuff, regulatory stuff they have to do. So I see it happening in bigger trucks first before it happens, I think.
But you know, when that happens, everything's going to be self-driving and everything for trucks. It'll be safer because he doesn't doze off.
True.
Self-driving. There will be no jackknifing of trucks, you know.
That's not usually not all the time driver issue. I mean, that's people slamming on brakes in front of them and them slamming on brakes and their load so bad it swings that tail around, or like the tornadoes that went through up near Illinois, it just blew the damn trucks over.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, that's different.
But so
why did they drive in the first place?
Trust me, don't whip out in front of an 18-wheeler and then slam on your brakes, because they cannot stop as fast as you are. Some of those tractors are carrying over 40,000 plus pounds, and it don't stop on a dime.
Yeah.
And people think they do.
No, they can't. So much momentum. Okay, so that's our tech. Let's go to bizarre.
Okay.
The big penis. How big is too big? So this topic came from Instinct Magazine and the Vice Doc video. So, gay man with giant 7-pound silicone enhanced penis tells all. Misha, a gay 45-year-old German man, shares his experience as the guy with the penis that weighs 7 pounds and is 9 inches long and 3 inches wide, based on silicone injections, he voluntarily had to increase its size. So there's a video on Instinct Magazine, and it looks like the penis fish from one of the episodes.
Comment on there, that it looks like the penis fish from the Amazon River.
Oh, the Amazon River, yeah.
So when you post the link on this, you can go watch the video on Instinct Magazine. It's about 15 minutes long. And the last, 10 seconds of the video, that you actually get to look at his penis. And it looks like that ugly-ass penis fish. So my question on this was, and I know some of you bitches like a challenge.
Wait. Related to the article, why did he do that? He volunteered? He wanted to do it?
He wanted a bigger penis. So he started injecting it with silicone.
Okay.
So, he started pump. Somebody gave him a pump as a gift. So he started pumping, and his penis kept getting bigger. So then he started going to these clinics and getting injected with silicone.
Does it even help? Well, it becomes bigger.
He's got a big old fucking fat penis.
But you can't fuck with that.
Like I said, there's some bitches out there that like a challenge.
That's right.
And once you watch the video at him at a leather, the Folsom German, the equivalent of Folsom Street in Germany, there's a lot of interested people in there.
So I don't know if it's too big.
But, you know, there are those bitches that like a challenge. So they'd be like, oh, let me just squeeze it on. Plop, right down on it, not think twice about it, I'm sure. So my question is, how big is too big?
If it does not fit my mouth, it's not going anywhere else.
Okay. How about you? Unless your rule of thumb. So, I think how big is too big is really a personal preference.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there are those bitches that like a challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some of those people that like to have their intestines pulled outside. And we all see the fisting videos with the arms all the way up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So this dick would fit right up in there because it's like yay big and
okay.
Like that. So
how big is too big, Ray?
I don't know. I think it comes down to being a personal preference.
Really?
Of the person that's taking. And then my question is, the top. How big a dick is too big for you?
Because
what I'm trying to get at is here, why do we as men measure a man by his penis size?
Yeah, it happens a lot.
It does happen a lot.
Yeah, especially
like,
if you're at the
bottom. And if you have a large penis, everybody's like, oh, you're the man. You're the man.
Yeah, but then you're a total bottom usually.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you're also a douchebag most days, but that's just my personal experience. But that's been interesting. I mean, even like early man, there's all this big penis stuff. The bigger the penis, the more man, the more virile, which is not necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the idea that a big penis makes you a man.
Yeah.
And like I said, talking about the movies you see, you don't see no small dick guys on no porn videos.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's bear videos.
Unless it's bear videos. Yes. And there are guys who have small penises. Yes.
They're got a big penis.
That is the truth. I've seen many videos.
They're not small. Well, let's not say small penis.
Well, smaller
let's
than
usual.
Let's
say average.
Average and less, actually. Average and a little bit less.
Because the average male American penis is, what, 5 inches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Just being truthful.
Yeah.
Yeah, chubby guys tend to, eat some of the space, I should say, because of the fupa or something. That happens, and it kind of shrinks you. Yeah, it happens, yeah. But that doesn't mean it's not attractive for some people.
Yeah, but how do you, as listeners, listeners and viewers, because we do both, do you think you're judged by your penis size? Do you think when you hook up with somebody and they're like, oh my God, you got a small penis?
Oh God.
Do you like
feel oh them my God, through? It's so small. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the guy would just walk away. Please leave my room. Please leave my hotel room. That happens. Oh my God, or you pointed. Ah, it's so cute. No, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to offend anyone. It's just.
Yeah.
What are your
feelings toward that? Because I know I've tried to hook up with someone. They're like, "What's your dick size?" And I'm like, "This, it's this." And they're like, "Oh, you're too small."
Really? Oh God! Or
I want 8 inches or more. So this guy would be the more for them.
This is more than a tuna can. it's bigger than
a
tuna can.
It's a 9-inch tuna can.
It's a 9-inch. It's like a.
It's a 9-inch Costco
tuna those,
can.
You know those bread? What is it? Those canned breads.
I don't know.
You have never seen those breads that are in a can.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing about penises. I like pretty penises.
Oh, you like it? You like it pretty, but not necessarily long or big or small.
I like it to look pretty.
Okay.
Personally, I did not find his penis pretty. That's why I said it looks like
Amazon
penis fish.
Yeah, I wouldn't like.
It's
I wouldn't
not
like that
it wasn't attractive to me. And it was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Now that's what he wants, and people are like, oh my God, it's so huge that they look past that. But to me, I just like a pretty penis.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
penises
are nice.
Small is, I just like it to look pretty.
Mm-hmm. I like it pretty.
Yeah. So,
all right.
So let us know what y'all think.
How big
is too big for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And if you haven't found one big enough, let us know.
That's a good title for this. How big is too big?
So,
okay, let's do some shout outs. Okay. This one's a message from Marcus, actually. He says on Facebook, hey, Marcus. He says, hi, guys. I'm hoping to see. You two during Bear Week this summer. Oh, I'll be going there. And are you going, Ray?
What?
Bear Week in P Town?
No.
Okay, so yeah, we'll meet each other there, Marcus. He said. He says that Nard, I'm a devoted listener to Bear Podcast. Thank you, Marcus, and thank you to you and Ray. Okay, he says that. Thank you for listening. And who else, Ray?
Gary Snyder. I understand you made it through another. Drench fur. Do you have all your hair still, girl?
I wonder if he grew.
Is that why he grows it out long? So as he starts pulling it out through the weekend, it doesn't really show.
Uh-huh.
Gary, let us know. Inquiring minds want to know. But congratulations.
Yes.
On a good drench fur. I'm sure it was awesome.
I bet it was, yeah.
So, I haven't seen anybody bitching online yet, so you did good.
Nobody bitched.
And you know how the bears like to bitch at events.
So. Okay, so shout out to Devin and Jay from Chicago, and also JB from Chicago also. And yeah, they were there. I miss you guys. I haven't seen you guys. I wasn't able to go. Also, Jim from Virginia. No, Arlington. Yeah, he's from Arlington. Yeah. And then also, Dave and Jason. Yeah. Hosts of Under Bears Podcast. And yeah, so they were there. And yeah. I didn't see them post anything on Facebook. I only saw some pictures. Yeah. I'll probably wait for pictures from Devin. Devin's going to be posting some pictures.
Yeah, Devin's already started posting. So, okay. Happy birthday to Bruce Reeves and Chris D from Wisconsin. Good luck on your tryouts for Big Brother.
So, he's gonna do Big Brother, really?
So, I hope he gets in, then we can interview him like Chris.
Yeah,
okay. Or actually, I want to wait to hear back from him because I hadn't heard back from him because he was doing that this weekend. Maybe he can call in and tell us how it was.
Oh, he's auditioning.
Yeah, he auditioned. Yeah.
Oh my God, you have to be bitchy. You have to have drama. Right? That's how it is with reality shows. You have to say something. You can't just say nothing. You have to say something. You have to be dramatic. You have to rock the boat all the time. And
Chris, do you have Drama Queen written all over you, girl?
I doubt it. I hope not.
So anyway, I think that's it for the show.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Z?
Yes, but you cut his whole email out that he sent us with questions in it.
Oh, he did?
Yes, that's why I had the whole email in there and you cut it out. So we'll have to talk about that next episode. Yes, you did.
That's the only thing I saw.
No, there's the whole email there that I posted in there because he was talking about Dave.
Oh, really? I actually didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Maynard did it, Z. We'll post your email next show. Just remember it's all his fault.
Well, don't you
like my change?
Can't you pull it up?
No.
No?
Not in the 2 minutes we got left to do this segment. So.
Oh, Z. I don't know if I got it.
I don't think you did. I think you sent it to me.
Yeah. He sent it to you directly, maybe. Yep. Oh, my God. Anyway, so Z. Shout out, Z. I couldn't read your email right now. Anyway, so, okay, so I guess that's it.
That's it.
It's a long show. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voice message and we'll play it on the show.
Yes.
And we love to get voice messages.
Yes.
Nobody ever
calls. Or emails, too. We got these messages.
We like emails, too. But we like voicemails, too.
Voicemails we got.
Play them.
Yeah. And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and Bear Radio Network. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many whoops and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Test. Gross.
Better out than in. At least I didn't fart.
Need to add
Gary, you survived another one, girl. You did it, Gary. You did it. One more drench fur's gone.